I'm Pastor Doug. If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, I'm so glad that you're here. We're in a message series called Divine Direction, and we're talking about how to live life and follow God's direction in our life and the many decisions that we have to make. Last week, we learned that God's will for us is to be holy and to glorify Him in everything that we do. Remember that God's will is more about His desire and purpose for us to have a character and motives that glorify Him. And that we can follow a specific course or plan in our life, but it might not be exactly what God intends or God wants us to do, but we're called to first and foremost have character and motives to glorify God. So last week I shared a little bit about my story. I grew up in a Christian home. And I shared that I felt God's call to ministry when I was a young boy, probably 8 to 10 years old. But then that I kind of wandered off following Jesus in the high school years and got involved in the wrong crowd and did some things that weren't honoring to God. And so right after high school, when I graduated, since I had been working on the garbage truck in the summertime and making good money, I saw no need to go to college and pursue ministry at all. I didn't sense that God was calling me to head in that direction, so I went and started driving a garbage truck for waste management, and to be honest with you, I really liked that option better because I made a lot of money. It was better for me at that time. 8 years later, after working for waste management for 8 years, my wife, Nancy, and I went through some really tough times. We lost two children that were born premature. And God used that situation in our life to bring us back, to pull us back into an authentic relationship with Him. At that time, I was 37 years old. 37 years old. And God used that moment in my life to reignite His call in my life to go into ministry. And so there I was, 37 years old, with a family, young children, no college education, wondering how in the world God was going to do it. How in the world God was going to lead me into ministry. When I look back at that part of my life, I often reflect on how it relates to God's will for my life and in our life. When I look back, at first I thought I made a big mistake. I thought I totally messed up God's will for my life. I thought God had a specific plan for me, and I totally ignored it. But later on, I began to wonder that if I did make a mistake, but that God just went along with it for a while until I was ready, until I was mature, until I was ready to be used by Him. But now, looking back, I think that God could have been a huge part of that plan all along. That God just decided to train me in a different way and in a different environment. What is God's will for your life? Sometimes we look back at our life and we think, man, I totally messed up God's plan for my life. And yet, God can still use that. God can still use that to build you, to help you grow your character, and to help direct you in your life. The reason I tell my story is because I think it's one of the reasons that we struggle with making decisions in our life. A lot of times we're afraid to make decisions because we think we're going to make the wrong decision and it's going to totally mess up our life. We have this perception that if we make the wrong decision, we'll struggle. It could be disastrous, and that God might not bless us if we make the wrong decision. I believe today people are struggling more and more with how to make the right decision in their life, both moral and practical decisions. So I want to talk to you today about how God gives us the wisdom to discern His will for us. How does God give us the wisdom to decide what we should do and how we can grow in our decision making? Paul says this to the Romans in Romans 12, verse 2. He says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. What is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God?" Paul says the key to discerning God's will for our life is to be transformed. To be transformed by renewing your mind. Now, if you don't already know, that word transformed is the word metamorphosis. It's the word that we use as we see a caterpillar be transformed into a butterfly. It's also, for maybe some of the younger people here, it's also the word that we hear in a certain program called the Power Rangers. Anybody remember the Power Rangers? Right? The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. That morph, that word is transformation. And we know that the story in that, and the Power Rangers are a team of young people who are recruited and trained by a mentor to morph or to transform into a Power Ranger so that they have special powers that help them overcome this evil person named Rita. We have a special Power Ranger in our spiritual life. His name is Jesus. Jesus came into our world to help provide a way for us to be transformed. He came to give us victory over sin and death. And He is our mentor who gives us the power to defeat sin in our lives. But as Paul says to the Romans, if we want to have that power to overcome sin and evil in our lives, we must renew our minds. We must renew our minds so that we can be transformed, so that we can be morphed. When we are transformed by renewing our mind, we're able to have the wisdom and the discernment that we need to follow Jesus. That word, renew. When we are transformed by renewing our mind, the Greek word renew there is to renovate. It's renovation. We're called to renovate our minds. Now, I don't know about you, but I hate making renovations. Because I just don't have the skills to do it, right? Whenever I see a potential renovation, I think, you know what? I'm going to start this thing, and it's going to become a way bigger job than I need it to be. It's going to cost me way too much, right? If I want to replace the tile in my kitchen, then the counter won't match. And then if I replace the counter, then the backsplash doesn't match. And then if the backsplash doesn't match, then I got to change the cabinet, right? And so to keep that from happening, I stay away from any kind of renovation. And I think we do the same thing in our spiritual life, don't we? We're afraid of renovation because we think that if I get involved in having and allowing God to change my life and to renovate my heart and soul, my direction, I don't know, it could cost me something that I'm not willing to pay. But Paul says, if you want to be transformed, you've got to renew your mind. You've got to get into the renovation. God says if we want wisdom to discern, we must renovate our minds because it leads to transformation that in turn gives us the power of God to defeat sin in our life and enables us to make godly decisions. So what does that renovation and transformational activity involve? What does it look like? What do I need to change in my life in order to be transformed so that I can have the wisdom to discern God's will for my life? Well, I will share with you this morning three simple ways to help get you wisdom to discern God's divine direction for your life. The first one, if you're following along on your outline, is to ask in faith. Ask in faith. If you want it, ask for it. James 1, verses 5 and 6 says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without no doubting. When you need wisdom, go to the source of all wisdom, God. The depth of God's wisdom is unsearchable for us. We cannot totally comprehend the greatness of the wisdom and knowledge of God. The foolishness of God is wiser than our wisdom. God is an unending, powerful source of wisdom that is available for us at all times. When we ask God for wisdom, it's actually an expression of faith. We're acknowledging Him as the source of wisdom, and we're showing Him honor and respect. Proverbs 1, verse 7 says, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. The fear that the Bible is talking about here is a healthy kind of fear. It means to live in obedience to God out of awe and respect for His holiness and for who He is and for the power that He has. Wisdom comes to us when we live in that kind of healthy fear with God. We acknowledge His sovereignty. We know His power. And therefore, we want to honor and respect His authority in our life. In that authority, we begin to experience the depth of His love for us. His wisdom, His strength, and His power, His perfect love. The fear of the Lord for us is the ability to see God as our perfect Heavenly Father. We are God's children. He is our Heavenly Father. And Jesus teaches us in Luke 11 that our Heavenly Father desires to give us good gifts when we pray and ask for them. He says, I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. If we really want wisdom, if we really want to get wisdom to discern where God wants us to go or what He wants to do in our lives, we must keep asking God in prayer. Paul kind of models this by telling all of the churches that he is praying this for them. In Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10, he says, we ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. You notice what Paul says there? He says that seeking God in prayer for wisdom helps us to know God better. It helps us to grow in our relationship with Him. Asking God for wisdom through the action of prayer is an expression of faith. It leads to transformation and renovation of our mind and of our life. At the age of 37, when I felt called to go back into ministry, I had no idea how God was going to do it. So Nancy and I started praying and seeking God's wisdom, His divine direction. Asking and praying, praying and asking, day after day, praying and waiting. For 3 years, nothing happened. Nada. Nothing. Zip. Started to question, is this really what God wants me to do? But God said, wait. And He continued to stir my heart. He wouldn't let go. As I look back at that period in my life, I looked at how God was molding me and making me into the person that I am today. That He taught me how to pray in those 3 years. I learned that God's prayer closet can be a place where He burns away the chaff in my life. It was in those moments that God revealed my selfishness and my sinfulness and my need to weed those sinful things out of my life. It was a place of humility where He revealed my selfishness. It was a place where God worked on my character. It was a place where I grew deeper in my relationship with Him. Sometimes God wants to know if we're really serious about the decisions that we have to make. And so He says, if you want wisdom, ask for it and keep asking for it. Pray and keep on praying. Seek and keep on seeking. And I think that the reason God wants us to do that is because in that process, it's not about getting what we want. It's about what He wants for us, which is way better than our selfish motives. That in that process of prayer and asking God for wisdom over and over and over, He helps us to grow and become more and more like Him. If you want wisdom to discern God and His direction in your life, ask Him for it in faith and keep asking. The second simple way to help you get wisdom to discern God's divine direction for your life is to walk with the wise. Walk with the wise. If you want wisdom and discernment from God, first and foremost, walk with Jesus. The most important part of seeking to follow God's will is developing your character, The best way to do that is spend time with Jesus. In Colossians 2, verse 3, Paul says this, "In Him, in Christ, lie all the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge." It's in a relationship with Christ that we allow Him to renovate our mind, to help us develop and grow godly character, which leads to wisdom and gives us divine direction. So first and foremost, we walk with Jesus. And the best way to walk with Jesus is to spend time reading His Word. The most prominent method that God uses to reveal Himself and His will to us is through the Bible. God reveals Himself to us through the incarnation of Jesus and through His Word. God speaks to us and teaches us His wisdom in the Bible. Paul reminded Timothy of that. Timothy is the young disciple that he mentored. And he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, 15 and 17, he said, "You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work." It's in God's Word and in His revelation, the gospel message comes to us. Walking with Jesus makes us wise. Reading God's Word makes us wise. It helps us realize the difference between right and wrong. That's wisdom. God uses His Word to prepare and equip us to live healthy and righteous, a godly lifestyle in Christ. If we want wisdom and discernment from God, we must walk with Jesus in the Word. If we want wisdom and discernment from God, the Bible tells us, walk with the right people. Surround yourself with the right people. If you want to follow Jesus, walk with people who are following Jesus. Walk with, spend time with, do life with the people who are wise. If you're having a hard time in your life breaking habits, take a good look at the people that you're hanging around with. What do their habits look like? If we're constantly getting in trouble, we need to change the people that we're hanging around with. If you really want wisdom, renovate who you spend time with. Start walking with the wise. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Proverbs 4, verse 7 says it this way, "Getting wisdom is the wisest thing that you can do, though it cost all you have, get understanding." You see, if we really want wisdom, we need to invest in making the necessary changes to make it happen. And when we do that, it's going to cost us something. It could cost us friendships. It certainly will cost us time. If we want to invest in becoming wise, it's going to take a change in lifestyle. We're going to have to invest in different things. If we want wisdom, we need to change some things in life, who we hang around with and where we invest our time. It made a huge difference in my life. Connecting with and listening to wise people changed my life. It encouraged me and enabled me to grow in my faith and my relationship with Jesus. I think the biggest person that had an impact in my life was my dad. He taught me so many things when I was growing up. I am the person today in part because I made the smart decision to listen to his wise advice. Well, not all the time, but most of the time. He had a huge influence in my life, and one of the biggest places was in my finances. See, my dad shared wisdom with me, the importance of giving and tithing to the church. As early as I can remember, my dad taught me the 10-10-80 principle. To save 10%, to give 10% to the church, and live off of 80%. And he showed me when I was younger that I could afford to do way more than that, to save way more, so that I would have more later on, to live on less, so that later on I could enjoy having different things in life. He taught me the value of money and how to invest and save it for things that really matter. And most of all, he taught me that everything that I have is from God, and that God requires me to manage his things in a way that honors him above all things. My dad taught me to work hard. He taught me the importance of honesty and integrity in everything that I do, because everything that you do is to worship God. I had leaders and mentors from church that taught me how to love and have compassion for other people. They modeled a faithful prayer life and taught me to pray. And believe it or not, I actually had people that were half my age, young people, that taught me things that I could never learn unless I spent time with them, listening to them. Some of the young people that I mentored in college ministry taught me what real worship looked like, what a lifestyle of worship was all about. And then there was a small group. As a young married man with children, I invested time in a small group, surrounded myself with people that could help model and teach me what it means to be a good husband and a good father. This is why one of the many passions that we have here at Northridge is for you to get in a small group. If you want wisdom to discern what God is calling you to do, the best thing that you can do is surround yourself with people who have spiritual wisdom. Get into a connect group. Get into a small group. Walk with Jesus and get wisdom from his word, and then walk with God's people to get wisdom to teach and to counsel each other. Paul says that in Colossians 3:16. He says, let the word of Christ in all of its richness fill your lives. Oh, and then teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that he gives. We were created to live in community together. In godly Christian community is the place where we can teach and to counsel each other, where we can share wisdom to help give us guidance and direction from God and from his word. If we want wisdom and discernment, we walk with God and we walk with others. The third simple way to help you get wisdom to discern God's divine direction is to trust and to test. Trust and to test. Paul says, by testing, you may discern what the will of God is, what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. Testing to discern means to examine it, try it out, scrutinize it. The bottom line is sometimes we just got to take that step of faith. The bottom line is sometimes God's not going to give you every little detail about where you should go or how you should do it. He's calling you to take a step of faith, to test it, to see which way God is calling you to go. In 1990, when I recommitted my life to Christ, Nancy and I felt the call to go into ministry, and we could have just sat there. Remember the 3 years that we prayed? We could have just sat there and prayed, but we didn't. We decided to get involved in youth ministry. And that was the place where God molded me for those 3 years while I was praying, getting involved in youth ministry. And there was a leader there in that high school ministry. He was an elder named Art Smith, who began to mentor me. And he challenged me and taught me how to use God's gifts in my life. And that's where I started to pray about God's call in my ministry. And after praying for God's divine direction in my calling to ministry, God answered it in a clear and yet unexpected way. See, I thought that since I was an older person, to go to college and then seminary wasn't possible to get a degree in order to become a pastor. I thought for sure that I would be in youth ministry for a long time. And so I was pretty passionate about helping youth and young people not make the same mistakes that I made. I thought for sure that God was going to open the door for me to do youth ministry. And one Saturday at a picnic, the pastor from our church came up to me and said, hey, Doug, I was wondering if you might want to come on staff here at church to do college ministry part-time. And I was like, no, college people, why would I want to do that? And yet, because we were praying, we recognized that this was God's open door and that we were just called to step through that door and to be faithful to God, even though we didn't have all the details, just to walk through that door and see what God would do. The hard part was the job was only part-time, which means I had to quit my job at Waste Management and take a risk to do a part-time job, find another part-time job to supplement our income. Man, that was a tough decision. But to us, it was very clear because we had prayed about it and we thought about it. We kept praying about it, and it seemed obvious to us. When we talked to God and when we talked to other people, they said yes. We feel like this is the direction God's calling you to do. Even though not every detail is laid out, even though you have no idea how God is going to provide financially, we think this is the right way to go. So sometimes God doesn't give us exactly the whole plan. He asks us to step out in faith and then be led by Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 7 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And here's the hard part. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in everything that you do, and He will show you which path to take. And here's the next verse, verse 7. We usually kind of cut that verse off, right? Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Don't think you're smarter than you really are. Don't think that you have this whole thing figured out. Trust in the Lord, even though you don't understand. Take it one step at a time. God often leads us one step at a time. He doesn't give us the whole plan. Here's part of the reason why. I think that if God showed us the whole plan, it would probably scare us into not even taking a step. And sometimes God calls us to take that first step. Trusting and testing in God means that sometimes we'll make mistakes. But God uses our mistakes to help us grow. Because remember, following God's will for us is more about growing spiritually than it is about following a specific course in our lives. So again, that moment in my life, do I go to college and pursue a call for ministry or do I drive a garbage truck? I decided to drive a truck. And I think that I learned more about who I am and more about the world by driving a truck than I did by going to college. And God used that time in my life to make me and to mold me into a person who's passionate about missions, a person who is passionate about justice for all people. There is not a perfect course planned out for you. So when Paul says God's pleasing and perfect will, it's not about making perfect decisions to follow a perfect plan that God has for you. It's more about following Him along on the journey and being perfected or being made complete in Christ. You see, that word, being made perfect, is actually the word teleos, which is the word for time. See, what God is trying to say is that it's about being perfected in Christ as we journey with Him. Paul says to the Philippians, He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it or faithful to perfect it. It's through the journey and not until we get into heaven with God that we are perfected. And so on that journey, God calls us and leads us. If we want to get wisdom to discern God's divine direction for our lives, sometimes we simply need to trust and to test it out, to take one step of faith at a time, learning and growing in Christ as we go. Divine direction. If we want wisdom to discern God's divine direction in our life, we need to ask, we need to walk, and then trust Him as He guides us. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet in the Old Testament, in chapter 6, verse 16. God challenges the people through Jeremiah and says, ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. When we ask, when we walk with Jesus, when we walk with others, and we trust God, He will guide us and lead us to peace. Unfortunately for the Israelites, They didn't follow Jeremiah's advice, the advice that God gave them through Jeremiah, and it cost them. Today, if we want divine direction from God, we need to ask, we need to walk, and we need to trust. Let's pray together. Lord, we come to you today, and we're just so thankful that you are a wise God, an all-wise God, and that you are perfect, and that you have so much wisdom that you just want to share it with us. You want to guide us and direct us. You want good things for your children. And so we just pray, Lord, that in our lives we would turn to you and ask for that wisdom, and that we would walk with you, and that you would guide us along the way. Help us to trust you and to take one step of faith at a time, to follow your direction for our lives, and in that process to grow to be more and more like you along the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.